Morning. Good to be with you again, beloved. It's Christmas time, and we need to make our pilgrimage to Bethlehem. You know, at this time of the year, the people who are going to Bethlehem, wanting to see the place. But they are not, it's not so unusual, because ever since the Lord was born, people were going to Bethlehem. I remember when the angels appeared to the shepherd and told them of the good news. After the angels had departed, their response was, "Let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." That phenomenon, nothing like this has happened before, nothing ever since. I'm trying to keep the time here. Yeah. Bethlehem, it means house of bread. We want to go to the very first mention of this place, this city, this town, as the hymn writer says, this little town of Bethlehem. We want to go there and we want to see, first of all, what happened in the first mention of the name Bethlehem. Bethlehem, we find in Genesis chapter 35, was a place of sorrow and death. That's what we find, first of all, in Genesis chapter 35. Verse 16 says, And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, sometimes called Ephrathah. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, for thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. That's the first mention in the Bible of the place where Jesus was born. And what happened there, we find, was sorrow and pain. Even Rachel, as she travailed in pain, she called her son Benoni, meaning he is the son of my sorrow. Father called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. In these names, you find the Lord Jesus Christ typified, because he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we know him today as seated at the Father's right hand. But Bethlehem, first of all, appears to us as a place of sorrow and sadness. Tears. Jacob had lost his beloved wife, and she was buried there on the road to Bethlehem, there in Ephrathah. And he erected a tomb there. in remembrance of her tears and sorrow at Bethlehem. When we go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 2, this passage reminds us of what happened there in Bethlehem. Not Luke, Matthew rather, sorry. Matthew in chapter 2. Another scene of sorrow and tears in Bethlehem. Let's just begin to read at verse 16. And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men and was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all its borders from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Rachel here represented the mothers of Israel. And these mothers who had lost their sons through the cruelty of Herod, they had to go by the tomb of Rachel. And she was seen as weeping with them because she understood before she died what sorrow was, what it meant to travail in pain. Jeremiah had prophesied this in Jeremiah 31 and 15, the very words that we read here. So Bethlehem, first of all, reminds us of sorrow, tears and agony. It's also the city of motherhood. Rachel, the first mother mentioned in Bethlehem, and also these mothers who had lost their sons because Herod was looking for the one who was born king, that he might destroy him. So he brought a lot of sorrow and tears and agony to the hearts of these dear mothers, for he wantonly slew their sons in his campaign of cruelty. Bethlehem, place of sorrow. When we turn to Luke chapter 2 and that time of adoration for the Lord Jesus by that aged man called Simeon, Luke chapter 2, then verses 34 and 35, he was referring to the sorrow that the Lord Jesus would encounter during his life and ultimately on the cross. This man had been told by God that he would not see death before he had seen the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Remember when they brought the child into the temple and Simeon was there and he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And when he was finished with his adoration, he turned to Mary and he said to her, "This child is set for the rising and fall of many in Israel and for a sign that shall be spoken against. And he said to her, yea, a sword shall pass through, pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And he was referring to the time when her son would be lifted up on the cross, and she would stand beneath that cross, and her heart would be filled with sorrow as she looked at him, and she hear these words, woman, behold thy son. Bethlehem, a place of sorrow, tears, and anguish. But Bethlehem, it's more than that. Not only is it the house of bread, not only is it the city of motherhood and motherhood in relation to death, but if we look at Bethlehem throughout the scriptures, we find also that Bethlehem was a place of sovereignty. Not only of sorrow, but of sovereignty as well. We see God's sovereign will and his purpose being worked out in that little town called Bethlehem. Ruth chapter 1. The place of God's sovereignty. We know the story of Naomi and how she had lost her husband and both her sons, and she entreated her daughters-in-law to return to their country and to their own people and to their own gods. But here we see the sovereign will of God being worked out in this young woman by the name of Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess. And Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly determined to go with her, then she ceased speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. What if Ruth had taken the advice of Naomi? What if Ruth had gone back to her country? No, she was steadfastly determined to go. She said, I don't want to be Moabitess anymore. I don't want the heathen gods anymore. I want to go where you are going. I want to live where you are living. I want your people to be my people. I want the people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be my God. I am going to Bethlehem. I'm going to the house of bread. She steadfastly was determined to go with her. What a great decision, as we see the sovereign will of God worked out here in the life of this young woman. Naomi was very mistaken. She was not empty. She didn't realize how much God had in store for her. And sometimes, beloved, we go through trials and situations and we think God is against us and God has so much in store for us. Look at verse 1, it says in chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. The kinsman redeemer is in Bethlehem. She had so much, but she didn't realize what God had in store for her. Sometimes we are short-sighted, like Naomi, and we get bitter. But when things happen to us, beloved, it's going to do one or two things for us. It will make us bitter, or it will make us better. Naomi was bitter for a while, but it became better for her down the road as she see the unfolding of the purposes of God. I went out full. He brought me home again empty. Not really. That's what she thought. But that was not what God had in mind. And when I think of Naomi and I think of all her feelings and all her emotions, I think of the verse of the well-known hymn, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. It is not long before Ruth meets this man, this mighty man of wealth, and she recognizes him as a kinsman. A kinsman, the mighty man of wealth. This Boaz represents our Lord who became our kinsman. That's what happened at Bethlehem, you know. He became our kinsman. The Bible says he in Hebrews 2, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. He became a man. That's the story of the incarnation. God became flesh and he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Naomi, you are not empty. You might be bitter for the moment, but God's purposes will ripen fast. It reminds me, beloved, of those verses. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and hath sent me to build, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. A diadem for the head instead of ashes over the head. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There is blessing in Bethlehem. There is sovereignty. And God is going to work out his sovereign will. Ruth would meet Boaz, they would recognize what the rules are, and he would say, yes, yes, I am a kinsman, I'm a near kinsman, but there is a kinsman nearer than I. And he would have to go, and he would have to clear things up. And the Lord would remove all the obstacles, because this kinsman, he wanted to redeem, but he was not able. That's not like our kinsman. This kinsman, he says, okay, I'll redeem it. But when he heard of the price that had to be paid, not only should he redeem it from the hands of Naomi, but at the same time, he must redeem it at the hands of Ruth. That means that any seed that would come between them would go to Mahlon, Naomi's son. He says, oh, I cannot redeem it, lest I mar my own inheritance. So he was willing, but he was not able. A kinsman nearer than I. And beloved, we had a kinsman that was nearer. And the Bible says, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and hath delivered us. For sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law was our kinsman, but our law could not redeem us, because the kinsman redeemer is in Bethlehem. Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. What a working out of God's will. Boaz and Ruth were married, and they had a son, and they called his name Obed, and he had a son, and they called his name Jesse, and he had a son, and they called his name David. And that's what Christmas is about. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Jesus Christ, the newborn King. Yes, now the bitter Naomi, who thought she was bitter, but she was still Naomi, God gave her a grandson. Because that son, that firstborn, according to the Levirate law, was not Boaz, but was Mahlon's, her grandson. You think she was still bitter? No, she took that child in her arms, and she became his nurse. The unfolding of God's purposes. David was the great grandson of Ruth, the Moabitess. And then we know of God's purpose in the life of David, but I love to read it, beloved, to see how God moves in mysterious ways, as we've been saying. In the book of 1 Samuel, after God had rejected Saul from being king, because God was looking for a man after his own heart, and he would say to Samuel in chapter 16, how long are you going to mourn over Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king? Bethlehem, the unfolding of God's purpose. I want you to go to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king from among his sons. David, the king, came forth from Bethlehem. The place, the house of bread, the place where God's purposes were worked out, and Naomi saw them, and she rejoiced. Verse 4 of chapter 16, 1 Samuel, And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." Verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are all thy children here?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and of a beautiful countenance and handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day onward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Ruth, I know she sensed something. She was in the will of God. She said, "I don't want to go back." She believed that God had something special for her. She believed her place was with the people of God. She believed her place was with Naomi. And from that union, a few generations down, David, the king, was born. And Jesus, the Pharisees never addressed him like this, but others addressed him as the son of David. Throughout the scriptures, those who understood who he was addressed him as the son of David. Bethlehem, the place of sovereignty, the place where God's purpose and will is unfolded. But that's not all we find concerning this city of Bethlehem, city of sorrow and the city of sovereignty. We find also that Bethlehem is the city of salvation. The place where God would show forth his great salvation. And he was promised that. Look at Micah, the prophecy of Micah. The place of salvation, the place of deliverance. In verse 2 of chapter 5 of Micah, it says, "Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah," remember sorrow and pain, remember sovereignty, "though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that shall be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Every time I read this, I want to remind God's people that the deity, the eternality of the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ is here. And I know there are translations out there. And if you have one of them, no apologies. That said he was from ancient days, from ancient times. No, he was not from ancient times. He was from everlasting. He was always was. If you want to look for somebody from ancient times, you find Abraham. You find Job, one of those. But he was not from ancient times. He was from eternity. He always was. I think you should say a loud amen to that if you believe it. I mean, not because I said it, but because it's true, it's here. His going forth have been from of old, from everlasting, not from history. He says, before that ancient man Abraham was, I am. But Bethlehem, the place of salvation, the ruler is going to come from Bethlehem. So as the kinsman redeemer was from Bethlehem, so is the deliverer coming from Bethlehem as well. And Jesus is both. Bethlehem Ephrathah. I guess the old little town of Bethlehem came from that, because it says, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come him that shall be ruler. It's a place of salvation. Matthew chapter 1. Beginning of verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that's to Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Bethlehem is the town of salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, little, but the town or the city of salvation, prophesied by Micah, that the deliverer will come, the ruler will come from Bethlehem. Luke in chapter 2, I love to read this portion of God's word, especially around this time. Verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Man, look, so many things are told us here in that little verse. A Savior, Jehovah saved, Jesus. Christ, the Messiah, that's the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah, the anointed Christ, the Lord, Jehovah. God is with us, Emmanuel. So much you can find in that one verse. A Savior, Christ, the anointed. The Lord, Jehovah. Bethlehem. That's what happened in Bethlehem. We referred to Simeon earlier. And we said that he, in his adoration, he blessed the Lord. And among other things that he said, Lord, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Lord Jesus, the Savior, is in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee, Lord. Have you gone to Bethlehem? You know, for a lot of people, if you want to understand Christmas, you have to go to the North Pole. That's where you get an understanding of Christmas. But the Bible says, if you want to know about Christmas, if you want to know about the incarnation, you have to go to Bethlehem, as the shepherds suggested. Let us go even unto Bethlehem, because it's there you will see what happened. You will see the unfolding of God's purpose. You will see God manifest in flesh. That's what the wise men saw as they came and found the young child with Mary, his mother. And they presented unto him gifts, gold. Oh, yes, gold, because he is a king. Born a king, we sing on Bethlehem's main. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. They gave him gold. They gave him frankincense because of his holy, spotless life that would please the Father and that would emit this fragrance to the nostril of a holy God. He did always those things that pleased the Father. Frankincense, a perfect and a holy and a fragrant life. And myrrh, just as Simeon suggested to Mary, a soldier pierced through her own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, that this child was born to die. Born to die. And myrrh speaks of his death. Oh, that we would go to Bethlehem. Many, many people went to Bethlehem. We want to think, first of all, of Joseph and Mary in chapter 2 of Luke. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 4 says, you see, they had to go to Bethlehem because God says that's where the Redeemer is going to come from. That's where the Deliverer is going to come from. He's come from Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee. You see, even the wrath of man is known to praise God, you know. Yeah, the king didn't know what he was doing. You know, he was fulfilling God's will when he put on this tax and they had to go to be registered. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You see, Christ could not be born in Galilee, even though the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders all say, "Oh, he couldn't be the Messiah because the Messiah is not going to come from Galilee, but he was born in Bethlehem." That's what God says, and that's what the wise men found out. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And Herod didn't know what to do; he was confused, and he asked. He asked the scribes and the Pharisees where the Christ should be born, and they told him in Bethlehem, because thus saith the word of God. And he directed them to Bethlehem. So when they say he was from Nazareth, he grew up in Nazareth, but he was born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came from Bethlehem. Luke 2:8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day," you could say, in Bethlehem, in the city of David, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. The angel came to Bethlehem. The shepherds, we already quoted that. That's in verses 15 and 16. They went to Bethlehem. The wise men, the Magi, they went to Bethlehem. They stopped off in Jerusalem. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of there. But they were told, and they had scriptural confirmation, that they needed to go to Bethlehem. And verse 1 says of Matthew 2, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I'd rather believe this than what the Pharisees say, what the chief priests and elders says. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." I hope that's what we do when we go to Bethlehem. We worship, we adore the Redeemer, the Deliverer is in Bethlehem. In the book of Ruth, the kinsman Redeemer was in Bethlehem. Boaz, the mighty man of wealth, he was in Bethlehem, the kinsman Redeemer. Herod inquired of the wise men where the Christ should be born. He said, "I want to worship him as well," but he was lying. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to destroy him. Listen to the accurate description of those who were custodians of the law. Those whom God entrusted to keep his word. Verse 4 of Matthew chapter 2 says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born." They didn't send them to Nazareth, you remember? "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. The wise men came to Bethlehem. Herod inquired, and he was told that it was in Bethlehem. God sent Samuel to Bethlehem. He sent him to Bethlehem to anoint the king, David the king. Now, two things are disputed by the Pharisees and others, the chief priests and the elders. Is the place of Jesus' birth and the line from which he came. They couldn't accept that the one that was born in Bethlehem was the Son of God. They couldn't accept the virgin birth. Like so many today, they shrug it off and said that could never happen. That Jesus was the son of Joseph, they would tell us. But we have not only those who were inspired by God to write the scriptures, they agree with everything that we have in the Gospels. Paul the Apostle, he made it so abundantly clear where Jesus came from. In his opening epistle in the book of Romans in chapter 1, he says the gospel that he's preaching was concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made of the seed of David. That's why he was called the Son of David. He was that branch, that man who was the branch, that branch of the Lord. That's an interesting study, but we can't go into that right now. But he was that branch. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, Paul is saying, this is, and no wonder Simeon said to Mary, he is set for the rising and fall of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against, and they've been speaking against that sign ever since. Jesus told them that he was going to set them free. They told him, we were not born of fornication. Things like that they would say to him. They didn't know who he was. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 8, he told Timothy, be steadfast in proclaiming this message and make sure you understand. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Seed of Abraham. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sang. Come adore and bend the knee, Jesus Christ, the newborn King. Glory in excelsis Deo. I hope you praise God this Christmas season. And you will if you go to Bethlehem. Not only is it the city of motherhood and sorrow, the city of sovereignty, it's the city of salvation. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Good to be with you, beloved. Thanks for having us. Have a wonderful Christmas, you and your family. And enjoy the miracle of Bethlehem. Enjoy that great phenomenon that God came down and dwelt among us. John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the place called Bethlehem, the place of our Savior's birth, the place of the incarnation. As we think of the cross, and we often do, but we cannot divorce Bethlehem from Calvary. For the one who was born in Bethlehem is the same one who went to Calvary. And there he took away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. Thank you for this glorious message. Thank you for the truth of the incarnation, that God became a man. May we publish this in life and in message, may we always remember that the child that was born is the same as the son that was given. We ask thy blessing upon thy word, thy blessing upon thy people here. We ask thy blessing upon the program this afternoon, we pray. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.